When your library is your lifeline, what happens when it's not technically a library? From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Kimberly Adams. On this holiday, we're revisiting an episode that originally aired October of last year on efforts to get equitable internet access on tribal lands. For many people, the only place to get access to the internet is at the library. That's a problem for many tribal libraries because they don't technically fit the Federal Communications Commission's current definition of library for its E-rate program. The FCC has proposed expanding its definition to include tribal libraries and is set to discuss that amendment at its open meeting on January 27th. Marketplace reporter Savannah Maher covered this story, and I asked her to explain why tribal libraries are being left out.
E-rate is an FCC program that helps libraries and schools afford internet access. And the definition of a library for the purposes of this program is an academic library, a research library, or a public library. And tribal libraries, most of them just don't fall into any of those categories. It might house the tribal archives, or it might be a repository for different cultural objects and sort of like a museum in that way. So for all of these reasons, they just don't fit the definition of a library under the FCC's rules. And right now, in order to become eligible for E-rate, these libraries need to be designated as libraries by the state librarian in whatever state they are surrounded by.
Do you have a sense of how many people rely on these tribal libraries for their only access to the internet?
You know, it can be totally different from one res to another. But in some places, the tribal library truly is the only place where you can get public free access to the internet. Like I reported for a few years on the Wind River Reservation in Wyoming, where the public Wi-Fi was really difficult to find. You know, about a third of people had access to the internet in their homes on Wind River. You know, you could either drive to a border town, which could be like a 30 or a 40 minute drive, or you could go to the library at the tribal college. And so that's a pretty big portion of the population on a place like Wind River that really relies on the tribal library.
What are you hearing from the librarians? Are they excited?
Well, you know, actually I'm hearing sort of mixed responses that, you know, this is a really important step for tribal libraries to be explicitly included in this program, but it's not the only barrier. If you've got one part-time employee that is running your library, serving patrons and keeping the library afloat, that librarian probably doesn't have a whole lot of time to apply to a program. Mm-hmm. And then once you do get the grant, you know, there's all of the compliance paperwork that you have to keep up with, which is just a lot if your institution only has one person or a handful of people working for it.
My colleague and Marketplace reporter, Savannah Maher. I'm Kimberly Adams, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.